Morning, Denny. How are you?
Morning, gents. I'm just still getting off the floor from the revelation from Clarkie earlier that the Viscount of all clues is moving.
The Viscount.
Mate, it's in lockdown. The town's in lockdown, buddy.
Mate, are you allowed to leave? Isn't that your sort of region, your area?
I'm not going far. Don't worry about that.
Good. I was worried.
Close to my daughter's school. I'm not going too far.
Very good.
You got room for me in your town of Bondi? Can I come back?
Mate, you're welcome in Bondi anytime.
Beautiful.
Anytime.
Beautiful. I might be back.
Looking forward to the housewarming too, Denny.
I missed out on. I'm like Buzz. I missed out on that as well.
Did you not get your invitation either,
mate?
I'm telling you, Australia Post have got some serious issues. I'm going to have to contact someone.
I don't look good in white anyway, pup. It's all right. Well, I'm a bit worried about Loz as well. Loz, are you having a bit of a fight?
Well, I think I might be, Denny. For the last 2 days, I've pegged myself in the mirror.
You turned up in a Ferrari today, you put it that way.
And I'm not happy with what I'm seeing back.
Well, I've never seen you look better. I've seen you on that Matty John show. You look fantastic.
Oh, thank you, Denny.
Yeah, he's looking sharp.
I've always said you were a great fella, Denny.
Now, Denny, Michael Maguire, the Tigers, what doing?
Look, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I wrote in my column that West Tigers officials were openly talking about moving Michael Maguire on. And that wasn't denied by a single one of those officials. And now it's come forward that, you know, there were supposed to be some sort of meetings. I don't know if they ever happened or not. But there's obvious issues at the West Tigers. And I feel like there are always issues at the West Tigers. So it probably isn't a surprise if, you know, some of them are talking about, you know, do we move Madge on? I think the problem is far greater than Michael Maguire at the West Tigers. They are a club who really haven't succeeded since the Benji Flick pass of 2005. And in that time, it's been, they just roll through coaches, roll through players, burn money, and achieve very, very little. Right now, they're going through a very poor patch, and they have for a number of years under the leadership of Justin Pascoe. I'm of the view that, yeah, if you want to make Michael Maguire accountable, I think you've got to start a bit higher up first. And you've got to look at the chairman, you've got to look at the CEO, and you've got to look at some of the people making decisions. I'm still baffled about, and you know, I could be completely off the mark here, but I'm baffled about the decision to build their high-performance centre at Concord. I would have thought, you know, they would have followed the Penrith model and maybe built an academy of sorts out at Campbelltown and tapped into a rich area of juniors, which, you know, we've seen have produced so many players. I mean, there are lots of Campbelltown juniors running around, and unfortunately not a lot of them are running around, or enough of them are running around at the Tigers. I think a club like Manly has really gone west and looked at a number of players there, bringing players through from Blacktown, and they've got their establishment there, and I've got a team now. I just think the Tigers have missed the mark in so many areas. And sacking Michael Maguire, there's lots of talk of it. It would be another mistake that they'd make.
I think I totally agree with that, Denny. I think you've just got to go down the path you're on and obviously change, but believe in the coach and give him everything that he needs. I'm still trying to work out, Denny, why they haven't been successful, because they've had no trouble getting the junior players into that club, but they have trouble retaining them. And I look at Michael Maguire, won a comp, gone to the Tigers, and he's not a bad coach. He just can't get this group of players to play well. Ivan Cleary took the Warriors to a grand final. I think Ivan might have seen the writing on the wall and went, oh, geez, this is not going to be good for my coaching career either. I'll go. And then all of a sudden, look at what he's doing at Penrith. So I'm just unsure of what the issue is there.
Ivan probably saw that the West Tigers may be a place where coaches go to die. You know, they don't really kick on once you've been in the West Tigers. And Ivan, yeah, he didn't do things the right way. I'm not suggesting that for a minute. But he probably saw things at that club that made him think, I have a far better future at Penrith, where Gus established a pathway system, where they've got a factory of players coming through, and look at the the fantastic juniors they've got at Penrith and the way they come through their pathways and the way they keep the vast majority of them and look at the success they're having. But they should be a role model or
benchmark
blueprint for what the West Tigers should be doing. And it's going to take some time. They brought Michael Maguire in to give them to take their soft underbelly away, didn't they?
Yep.
They brought him in to shake the place up. I don't think they could have expected immediate results. But now some of the blokes who sit on the boards and the CEOs and the chairman, and they're probably, getting ribbed by their mates and saying, oh, what's going on with your football team? And, is it your fault? Well, it's easy to shift the blame, isn't it? It's easy to look at Madge and say, okay, well, it's his fault. I understand the criticism that Michael Maguire gets, that he is considered a hard-nosed bloke and he doesn't get big-name players to the club. I think there's some fairness in the criticism of his hard methods. But I've also done a bit of digging around and I've talked to people who say, well, he's probably not any harder than a lot of the other coaches running around at the moment. So they're going to have to stick with Michael Maguire, because otherwise, if they get rid of him, just say they put in, the next best off the list, Shane Flanagan or Johnny Morris or Paul McGregor, then they have to start again, don't they? And then they have to go through this whole process again. It's not the team the coach wanted and all that sort of stuff. And it's just ongoing. And it's
the cycle starts again. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know Madge personally. I mean, I'm not very close to him at all. And I've had plenty of blues with him when he was at Souths. And so I never really got close to him. But he did win a competition. And I think he deserved some level of respect. If the club brought him in to change the way that club operates, they probably have to speak with him.
Let's get off the Tigers, Danny. What about the Broncos, buddy? How come they're struggling to retain players?
Oh, God. It's embarrassing, isn't it?
Oh, like, it certainly is.
At the start of the year, we said Kevy was probably up there with the most under pressure people in the game. And they've been terrible, the Broncos. And the way that the Fafitas and others, they don't have Sam Walker in their ranks. The young fullback has just gone to the Warriors.
Reece Walsh.
Yeah, Reece Walsh, who when Roger Tuivasa-Sheck watched him at training, he said, I'll play on the wing if you want me to, because he's that good. So these are generational players who, you think, why aren't they at the Broncos? What's going on there? For a long time, I think that, the coaching's not great, but I also think their recruitment really needs an overhaul. The guy who's been there, Peter Nolan, I think it's... I don't know how he's still in that position after all the dramas that have been, that we saw Seibold go last year. I think that... I don't know why that the Broncos haven't made changes in that area, and I wouldn't be surprised if some changes are made there as well. So they're a club who... they're very important to rugby league. I mean, from a Channel 9 perspective... We see them on free to air pretty much every week, and some of the stuff they're dishing up is just so disappointing. And they've got terrible players overall. They've got some very good players, but they've let a lot of good ones go as well.
Danny, I'm just trying to get my head around the fact that they must be all in for a Mitchell Moses or a Adam Reynolds, because if you're letting Dearden go, you're obviously not going to re-sign Milford. So there's, and you've still got Brody Croft there, and the I don't think anyone's convinced that Brody's the bloke that's going to lead them out of the mess they're in at the moment. And they need to have a primary playmaker, a dominant playmaker. And for me, these are the two, or possibly a Sean Johnson. Who are they all in on, and who will they likely get, or will they miss out?
Laurie, I found it really interesting they've just let Tom Dearden go, because for years we were hearing that he was... I mean, I haven't seen that much of him play, but for years we're hearing he was going to be the halfback answer. And that he basically just walked out the door like the other players. And so obviously they don't rate him, because, they would have tried hard to keep him.
Mm.
In terms of who they're going to get, even Daly Cherry Evans' name has been linked with the Broncos. Now, I put that to Cherry Evans' management, I think about a week ago, and they said... they haven't had any approach from Brisbane. I've asked Daly if he wants to finish his career at Manly. He has said emphatically yes. So would Cherry Evans work up there potentially? But I can't see Mitchell Moses leaving Parramatta easily, because unlike the Broncos, they've got a, they would appear to have a chance of winning a competition in the next 3 or 4 years. Who else can they get? You mentioned Johnson. I think Sean Johnson on his day is a fantastic player, but he is a little bit streaky, and he would need a very solid player beside him. Plus, he's 30 years of age and he's coming off an Achilles. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. There's no... They must have a plan, Laurie, but they're not letting me know. And I wish I could tell you.
Yeah, it's well, it is unfortunate because we do need a strong Broncos. You need a strong Brisbane Broncos because they're a massive club. But at the moment, it's going to take them time to turn it around.
Oh, gee, I've loved watching them crash and burn, though.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Yeah.
don't you get sick of watching him get thrashed by 40 every week?
Yeah, it's now getting... Well, it's just ridiculous because, obviously, the time slot, their games are always in. And we get a lot of text messages about this. Mm. They're now dud games.
Well, I still can't believe... Sorry, getting back onto the halfback topic, just to cut you off there. Sorry, Mitter. But Sam Walker, I can't believe that this young boy, and everyone has known about Sam Walker for years, and obviously the Broncos would have known him firsthand that he was, you know, going to be a very, very good player. I can't believe they let him go to the Roosters, and now the Roosters are about to sign him for another 5 years to lead the next generation through. I mean, that's a terrific signing for the Roosters, but a poor decision by the Broncos.
Laurie, I was watching him against the Dragons and watching against the Sharks. Again, I've only seen him as a first grader and a bit when he was playing for North. You look at him and go, how's an 18-year-old kid doing that?
Hmm.
He plays without care. He doesn't worry about the... It's a Jimmy Maloney effect, isn't it? He's not worrying about the consequences of what he's doing. He's seeing something and going for it. And I spoke to the Roosters about him yesterday, and initially they were going to give him the first 6 games or so before they wanted to make a move on him. And initially they thought, okay, we'll sign him up for a couple of years and see how he goes. But I spoke to their officials yesterday, and they said, he's better than we ever thought. Like, we knew he was going to be good, but we didn't know he was going to be this good. Yeah, we need to lock him down. And he's playing... It's not like he's got an experienced half next to him who's telling him what to do. He's got Drew Hutchinson there, and that makes it even more remarkable, I think.
Oh. Yeah, the other thing I loved about him on the weekend, and I'm just trying to think whether it was... He didn't score, and I think Nat Butcher scored. But when Pereira got sent to the sin bin, he knew that that side of the field was not going to be strong defensively, and there'd be one man down. And there was a short side play. It looked like it was coming open, and he went back there and tested the Dragons on that short side. And he put Butcher over to score a try. I've seen a lot of experienced halves not identify that and play away from where the space is. He played to the space. And I thought, geez, that's terrific for a young boy.
That's a footballer, isn't it? I mean, that's the sort of kid who's grown up around a footballing family, the Walker family, obviously. And it's someone who watches football. He's a football nerd. He loves the game. He's a natural footballer, and that's what a natural player could do. He is a little bit like... I'm not trying to make comparisons, but he reminds me a bit of Luke Keary, even. Keary played a role in his development, and he probably hasn't got the blistering speed of Keary at this point, but he reminds me of Keary in the way he's not afraid. He runs it into the forwards, and he'll pass late, and he's not worrying about himself, and he's tough. He's tough for an 18-year-old.
Denny, what's wrong with one of the competition fancies at the start of the season, the Raiders?
I wanted to ask this of Laurie.
We're not game to talk about it. We need an outsider to talk about it.
No, I think, mate, if anyone's qualified, it's Laurie. I know your mates are Ricky, and it's difficult, but I mean, I had them as grand finalists.
Yeah, so did I.
I really thought they were going to be... This was their year, and they haven't showed a lot, have they? And I know Ricky would be seeding, but I don't know what the issue is with them.
Yeah, I think some of them expect it to happen rather than make it happen. I think some of their players are in that mindset. And I think that defensively they've been very poor, and conceding the amount of points they did last week in a quick period of time against the Cowboys was unacceptable. Against Penrith, when they played Penrith at Penrith Park there a couple of weeks ago, I thought that was a really good performance, and it showed that they are capable of competing against the best teams. They're still running eighth at the moment, and they haven't played anywhere near their best. But this will be a better indication this week when they take on South. So, I mean, I was expecting a response last week. I think they'll get it this week. I think they'll be a much more tougher team against South.
I want your opinion I get asked this a lot about, I know Hodgson isn't playing at the moment. Mm. Josh Hodgson, is he the best person at hooker for
Yes,
them?
No doubt.
Do you hear the criticism, though, that he doesn't?
I hear all the criticism. And I hear the criticism that, you've got to give Jack and George more time on the ball. I don't agree with that. I think that they're a better team when Hodgson operates out of dummy half. He finds the field position, and Williams and Whiten can run the ball. Don't worry about organising. Just run and distribute. And I said before, when I watch Jack play, again, he's not a natural ball player, and he doesn't dig into the line as well as some of the other halves in the comp. And when I watch, when I see them play, they've got that, out the back, but you need someone to square and stop the slide. And the other thing I've noticed with, in particular with Souths and with the Storm the other night, they work in little, I don't know, you can call them pods, I suppose, but it's nice little short passes, and they actually square the people up. And by going with close support, and you've got numbers keeping and holding width, the opposition defence stays out there, but they've got to worry about the little pod that's coming directly at them. And they've got this nice little short passing game that can put people into space. Or if they want to jam from the outside, then they've got the ability to actually shift it to their players that have kept the width in their attack. And that's what I noticed with South and also Melbourne. They play this little short passing game rather than the big expansive block play to block play, but they square the opposition up. They square them up so well, either their forwards are doing it or their halves are doing it, and it just puts the opposition defence in two minds. They don't know whether to jam or stay out, and they're coming up with the right options. And I think, for me, when I watch Jack play, he's not a natural ball player. So that's why I reckon Jack, if he's going to play that ball-playing sort of role, he needs to just square up a little bit more. But he also needs Hodgson to get them around the paddock. Because I've coached Jack as a six. I think he works a lot better when other people are the primary playmakers rather than himself.
I know we're running out of time, but you still pick Jack at six.
Yeah, I pick Jack because I think a big body in Origin and working with a guy like Nathan Cleary will be sensational for him. He can just challenge the line. The other thing about Jack, when he runs the ball, he mightn't create anything with the run, but what he does create is for someone else to get a good play the ball off him. So he'll run, find his front, play the ball. It's fast. The next person gets an opportunity. So that's what I love about Jack. When he runs the ball, if he doesn't split them, there's an opportunity on the next play for someone.
Still got a Loz, even though you're old.
old and not very good looking, Denny.
Mate, looking a million bucks.
Oh, that's a good clip right at the end, mate. Have a great week.
See ya.